Nicely swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Parken Stadium in Denmark was pandemonium. 4-1 win today for Denmark over Russia. They got the result they needed from Belgium in their match against Finland. And it is Denmark who today steal the headlines globally and around the world with a highly emotional type of a game, of course, with everything that's happened to Christian Eriksen. So the Danes have advanced, and we welcome you into Soccer Matters on the Horn in Austin, Texas. In progress right now, it's Argentina and Paraguay, and I am, as always, your humble host, Glenn Davis, the self-proclaimed best in soccer talk. Now, we go right to what was this weekend, and this was Austin FC's home opener. It was a long time coming. What an exciting time. What a celebration. What a celebration of the Austin soccer community that goes so far back, and then, of course, moving this forward to the ownership group, the launch, the amazing connection and support from the fans who fought for MLS to come to the city. This had to be a highly emotional day in Austin, Texas. I don't think there was any question. We had Matthew McConaughey, incredible TIFO. Everything was there. And, you know, it looked, you know, Austin, Texas and Q2, you look beautiful. It was incredible. Austin FC fans and everybody have to be very, very excited. So with that in mind, tonight we'll have Austin FC striker John Gallagher on the show as well. Throughout the show, I'd like to take your calls. If you were at the historic first game, give us your sort of a take on it and kind of, you know, validate, you know, what you saw, what you felt, what you heard, the emotional feel you might have had. Let's get it from you, Austin FC fans. 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. As always, the show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, Daspit Law Austin. com. Any kind of a personal injury type of event that you get in, a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you might work construction, you do need representation, you get it from the best. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. So excited here. We'll have some Copa America updates. Right now, by the way, Argentina and Paraguay, and Argentina's Lionel Messi tonight will tie the all-time caps record with Javier Mascherano. So that's something that will occur tonight. And earlier, we did have a 1-1 draw. We'll talk a little bit about this between Chile and Uruguay. Very, very good game. But back to Austin FC now. Let's keep it there. Number to call into the show is 512-447-3776. 512-447-ESPN. I go to my producer, John Reichel, because, John, you told me before we got on the air tonight that you were out and about around Austin, and you saw all the amazing passion and excitement around the opener in kind of a different way.
That's right, yeah. I was up at the Domain, and I was just going bar hopping around there, and I saw a lot of the fans who were still on the waiting list but still haven't gotten live tickets yet. But yeah, they saw seas of green and all their gear, and I got to talk to a couple of them after the game was over, and they said that the stadium was electric, and everyone was so passionate and wanting to talk about, you know, soccer, and a lot of them sounded like, you know, this is their first step into the sport.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, you always want those unique fans, ones that don't have a history with it, right? You want everything. You want the traditionalists. You want the ones that are the hardcore and have historically followed it, played it. But you also can show, you know, the 20 to 35 set that maybe hasn't played soccer, what an amazing social event it is, what excitement it brings. Yeah, tell me a little bit more about some of the people that you talked to, because I found that that's a very interesting way to start the show off here tonight. You know, the definition of a soccer fan, and we know there's all different types when it comes to Austin FC.
It's true, yeah. So I saw a lot of younger fans, a lot of people my age, kind of like in your mid-20s, and I got to talk to a couple of them that were at the stadium and talking about how they lit up the audience with green colors, and I saw a lot of different, you know, shapes and sizes. Saw at the first bar I was at, saw a couple of older gentlemen in, like, full jersey, hat, like, mittens, and all sorts of, like, fun gear on, and they were watching from the corner. So, yeah, it was all shapes and sizes and all walks of life, all united underneath, you know, Austin FC.
How can you not love this? You get emotionally connected to someone, something like this, your local team. It's been so long in the works to finally come to fruition. You get this moment. And it's bonding. It's connection. It's Austin, Texas. It's Matthew McConaughey who, you know, listen, you can't say enough about that guy. That's the best signing Austin FC has made, quite frankly. Let's position it like that, and that's with all due respect to all the players who are kicking a ball. But, I mean, come on. I mean, this guy, he's knocking it out of the park. And you know what's good about it? He's a longtime Austin guy. Mm-hmm. So this isn't somebody that you feel – is in there doing this contrived. Oh, I get it. He's a celebrity. He's got the book. You know, he may be running for governor, whatever. This guy's Austin, man. And there's honesty to this. You know, he's obviously a UT fan. Doesn't hurt that he's such a big Texas fan, obviously, because it ties that into it. But this guy is, you know, if Seattle wants to say Will Ferrell, I mean, if LAFC wants to say it's Will Ferrell, if Seattle wants to say it's their celebrity owner, nobody's touching this guy right now. Matthew McConaughey is number one. There's no question with what he's doing, the effort he puts into it, and the fun he's making it. You know, it's fun. You have to have people out in front of your franchises that differing types. You know, you have to have someone like Matthew McConaughey who's a worldly guy and can talk to everybody. You have to have somebody who's a very deep soccer knowledgeable guy that can handle any question from the community. So I think it's absolutely fantastic. I'm glad you had a good time. My question to you now is, John, you know, when are you getting that Austin FC Verde jersey?
I know. I got to get going on that myself, surely. I need to figure out what player I need to get. That's the most important part to me.
Well, I got one for you, but you'd have to get a goalkeeper's uniform because I think he's been the MVP of the team so far after 9 games, and that's Brad Stuver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any question. Yeah, he preserved a 0-0 draw, some spectacular late saves. In fact, didn't we put up a saves package together on him? Why don't we run the Brad Stuver saves package here? Because in my mind right now, along with Alexander Ring, these have been the two most consistent players with this team. I dropped Cecilio in there too, but I think Brad Stuver right now has won you points as a goalkeeper, has become a remarkable, remarkable story. Much like Tim Melia of Sporting Kansas City, he's kind of come out of nowhere. He's been a backup for a long time, and it doesn't happen to a better guy, right? I mean, we had him on the show. He's just an incredible guy when it comes to getting in front of the media. Incredibly well-spoken young man. But I'll tell you what, a shot stopper par excellence. 9 saves for him in this one, and he just continues to come up with the timely, very big save. And I think at the end of a year in Major League Soccer, in any league, you have to say, has your goalkeeper won you games? Has he won you points? Has he preserved a point? And there's no question. You can already say that about Brad Stuver. All right, I think we have the saves package queued up. Let's go for it.
Chris Wondolowski lining up a strike. Stuver spills it. Espinosa arriving, but Beasler there first. Here's Cade Cowell, track it onto his right and find the next option. It's with Carlos Fierro. Great save from Brad Stuver, who's been one of the standouts for Austin in this early season. Lofted in towards Alanis again, and again Stuver responds.
So the 83rd minute, you heard the Carlos Fierro shot, and then you saw the Alanis save as well. Those are saves late in a game. That would have put a damper on the excitement in the party. I don't know how much, though. Honestly, in some ways, it really didn't almost matter, the scoreline. The fact that it ended 0-0 was fine. I think the big story was, hey, this was the curtain raiser. Everybody was out in full force. Fantastic stuff. But he made those saves late on Fierro and Stuver. And, of course, you know, we saw what he did at Sporting Kansas City. We saw what he did in Seattle. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, and he's racking up a couple of clean sheets, which is always confident for a team. So, you know, if you're putting a team together and you know you have a goalkeeper that's going to provide timely saves and you're confident in that, boy, that is a great way to come out of a tunnel and come onto the field. There's no question about it. I had a great goalkeeper behind me named Bill Irwin. Mike Barbrick was another one. And these guys, you guys probably don't know, Bill Irwin actually was the coach at Portland Women's with Clive Charles. But these were two goalkeepers that you knew when you had them behind you as a central defender, as I was, that you had a large level of confidence instilled in you. And I think Brad Stuver has just been remarkable. So this one ends 0-0 with San Jose. Next up is Minnesota United for Austin FC. 10th minute, and I thought there were going to be goals in this game simply because of the way San Jose plays. And again, we'll take your calls, 512-447-3776, 512-447-3776, if you have thoughts on the Austin FC debut. And this can be just strictly from what the atmosphere was like. Share it with the rest of the community here on Horn FM. Okay, so Marcinowski came up with a big save on Diego Fagundes in the 10th. Nick Lima in the 26th had a hit from longer range. Espinosa went off the post, but I will tell you Brad Stuver was there and went off the outside of the post for San Jose in the 36th. 38th minute, our guest who's coming up in the next segment, John Gallagher, did some great dribbling work along the end line, cut a ball back. That was a very dangerous moment for Austin FC. Half end 0-0. 51st, this was another good moment here. For Verde, Pochettino picking out Cecilio, making that run at the near post in the 51st minute. That was a wonderful chance. 63rd minute, though, this was one of my favorite moments of this game. And gosh, I just wish this was punctuated by a score and a goal. But 63rd minute, Cecilio, Fagundes, they put together, and somebody, I'm not sure who it was out of the back who hit Cecilio in midfield. But Cecilio Fagundes and Ring, this is just some great free-flowing play. It's a great sequence. It's a ball moving. It's passing and movement at its best. And it ends up to Alexander Ring, who gets into a higher position. And then Marcinkowski comes up with the save on him. But it was just beautiful, eye-popping, wonderful to watch, fluid run-of-play type of stuff. 83rd minute, again, we mentioned Brad comes up with the big save. 90th, he does it again. The possession in this one was pretty much even. Austin FC with 20 shots to 13 to San Jose, but they had 6 on goal, and San Jose had 9. So there you go. That's the 9 saves Brad Stuver made. So even though Austin FC outshot San Jose, it was San Jose who wins the category of more shots on goal. A lot of blocks from Austin FC, key blocks. If you think about the amount of passes between the two teams, and some of these are stats that, you know, look, it doesn't, you know, we spit some of this stuff out, but it does not quantify necessarily the game. The thing that quantifies the game is the eye test, but 409 passes for San Jose, 384 for Austin FC. And San Jose is a tough team to play against. One of the lower payrolls in the entire league. Tough to play against, though. You know, Espinosa's dangerous. You got Jackson Ewell, who's a big favorite of the U.S. national team pool. You know, Wondolowski, Rios. Yeah, there's some players there that are very dangerous. Espinosa went off the post, like I said. So, you know, this is like any MLS game. There's nothing you take for granted in this league. There's nothing. Anybody's capable of beating anybody on any given day. Passing accuracy for both teams, 85%. 16 corners between the two teams. You would have thought with 16 corners, somebody would have produced something off a corner kick. But alas, that did not happen. But the shiny, beautiful Q2 Stadium was electric. The TIFO, by the way. I mean, Austin Anthem, Los Verdes, all the supporters who put that TIFO together, that was a stroke of brilliance. Man, that's a big TIFO game that you come in with right there. That's spectacular. It's eye-popping. It's exciting. Listen, not everybody has this type of pregame ritual in MLS. I've been to every stadium around the league over the years. that start, you put the bar high, Austin FC. You put the bar high, Austin soccer fans. That TIFO?
Yes.
Oh, man. I just was... didn't know what to say when I saw it. Unbelievable. All right, we got John Gallagher coming up. John had a good game against San Jose. We'll talk with John about a number of things, including what it was like being out on the field in that game with the fan and the excitement. He'll have a good perspective on that, having been at Atlanta United as well. So John Gallagher of Austin FC will join us next. We will get to some Euro talk tonight. We will get to some Copa America. Argentina is already up. 1-0 on Paraguay at the Estadio Mané Garrincha in Brazil. This is Group A. They do have some COVID problems down there with a lot of the players, though. All right, we'll take a break. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. Give them a call, 512-865-6710. They're bilingual, 512-865-6710. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. They're bilingual personal injury attorneys. We'll take a break. Coming up next, John Gallagher, Austin FC.
To the contrary, Verde Listos. Austin FC play their first ever home match in Major League Soccer against the San Jose Earthquakes.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They'll take your case. They'll fight for you 24-7 nights a weekend. John and his firm responsible for getting soccer on the airwaves, and a big, big thank you to John Daspit and DaspitLawAustin.com. With that, we bring on Austin FC striker John Gallagher. He joins us now. John, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. All right, so simply, I think for the listeners, just give us a sense of you know, coming from Atlanta United, you have been in front of big, big crowds. You've been in front of very passionate crowds, obviously, in Atlanta, but give us a sense of what it was like running out at Q2 this past weekend, what it sounded like, all the things that were hitting your senses in this one against San Jose.
It was amazing. I mean, it's what every player dreams of playing in front of when you're growing up as a kid. I've been fortunate enough to play in some pretty good atmospheres. You know, like places like Ibrox and Celtic Park back in Scotland in front of 50,000-60,000. And that's a completely different atmosphere to America. But to be honest, Saturday night was the closest I've seen in the MLS to a quote unquote European atmosphere. I mean, the crowd was really engaged. They were loud, raucous, you know, they brought a lot of energy. And, that's something we're going to have to feed off of for trying to make this place a fortress for other teams to come play against us.
Were there times you had difficulty hearing each other?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's if you're close enough, you can hear, but there was times where I'm trying to yell at people 20, 30 yards away, and I just gave up because I'm going to lose my voice. I think a couple of the coaching staff was funny in their post-game speech. They had croaky voices. You could tell they were screaming the whole time and not much was getting through to the players.
John Gallagher joining us here, Austin FC. We really appreciate John coming on the show. He's been on before, very, very articulate and has great insight. Take me back to that comment about Ibrox and Scotland and the audiences. What is different about a European fan base than an American fan base?
I think that at times I've seen in the MLS, you know, it's more of like a family atmosphere, and they're more for like spectating. Whereas in Europe, you know, people are there, they're passionate. You know, they live for that Saturday kickoff to watch their home team and go support them, and you know, have their season tickets, have their seat that they come sit in every week, and that's what they live for. That, you know, they work Monday through Friday looking forward to that game that they get to go watch, and honestly, I did feel that from the Austin fans. It's been a long 8 games on the road, and you know, a lot of waiting to finally get back home and play in front of these guys. And we felt that. We felt the love from them. We felt the energy. As I said, you could hear the seats raising every time there was an attack, and the place getting louder. It was a surreal experience and really enjoyable.
So this has got to be a remarkable time in your playing career. I mean, you know, you talked about where you played in Scotland, and then you come to the United States, you know, and you go to college here. You get Atlanta United. You get Austin FC. I mean, you're not playing in front of a lot of empty seats. Let's just put it that way when it comes to those two franchises.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been pretty lucky. I've played at two of the best fan bases in America, to be honest. There's a couple out there that are good as well, but yeah, I think my two clubs so far in the MLS have set the bar pretty high, and hopefully I can stay in Austin for a while because I'm really, really enjoying it.
John, it's been a bit of a struggle to score goals, and you just get the sense you guys are close, you know, to really breaking out consistently in the goal-scoring department. Talk a little bit about Cecilio, Jared, yourself, some of the other attacking players like Diego Fagundes, Pochettino. When it comes to kind of the sense of when you feel that breakout is coming, and how much of it is a little bit of frustration right now?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, there's not much frustration from the players because we are playing well and we realize that we are sticking to our game plan and executing quite well. It's just that final ball isn't there right now. Now we know that we're not going to go on the road the first 8 games and score 20 goals. I mean, that's pretty hard to do in any league when you go away from home. And I know it's cliche, but I really do believe that once that goal goes in at home, the floodgates will open and you see the amount of chances that we're creating, and it's only a matter of time for a few of us to get hot. I know myself in particular, was obviously frustrated after Saturday night. I really thought my season would get going after I scored my goal in Kansas. And then unfortunately I picked up an injury that week in training and felt that put me back a little bit, but I'm finally feeling back to myself. And I know that if I can keep putting myself in good spots and putting my teammates in good spots, that you know, the fans are going to see a lot of goals soon.
So as a guy that's expected to score goals, and you go into game, obviously this is a team game. You're doing whatever it takes for the team, off the ball, without the ball, defensively, in transition, all these other areas that you contribute to. But at the end of the day, most of those people who are in Q2 Stadium are looking at the strikers on this team, and they're judging you whether you score goals or not. And when you're not and you're in training and getting into these games, you know, how much pressure is that? Because a lot of times to just the ordinary commoner, they're not going to really compliment you on your good defensive work necessarily. They're not going to compliment you necessarily on movement and creating space for someone else. They're going to really just kind of judge you on how many balls hit the back of the net. Do you get that sense? Is that a fair thing to say? Okay, I think we just lost John. We'll try to get him back. I hope that wasn't the question. No, but John will, I think he'll be calling back. But, you know, there is pressure on goal scorers, and you're in training, and if, you know, you're competing to get in the starting lineup. John, I don't know if you heard that question, but it was kind of a long-winded question. I was just basically talking about the fact that, you know, goal scorers get judged on scoring goals, and you're not necessarily going to get a pat on the back for your movement and mobility to create space for others. You may not get a pat on the back for your defensive work in transition or your pressing play. How much pressure do you feel sometimes when it comes to just purely scoring goals? Because that's what a lot of fans judge strikers on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a good point. I think that pressure I feel is not so much from the fans, but more from myself. I know that I've been a goal scorer, and you know, I had a good goal scoring record last season, obviously got me here. So I put that pressure on myself, and I put that expectation on myself to score goals. Obviously right now they're not coming as much as I'd like to for myself and a few others, but as I said, I know that will come, and there's still plenty of the season left. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you've also got to look at, you know, pleasing your coach. He sets a certain job for each position, whether that is, you know, as you said, your off-the-ball movement, creating runs, you know, linking your passes, your defensive play. So, yeah, a goal is just one small part of the entire game that you've got to put together.
Yeah, and I think one example that we can both probably put out there really quickly is Timo Werner at Chelsea. He's not exactly hitting the back of the net a lot, but he starts a lot, he plays a lot because of his movement, his mobility, his industry, and a lot of other things. He was in the German lineup as well. So just goes to show you there's coaches may judge strikers on some different things. Okay, you guys got to turn it around. You're in this euphoria. You know, I can't not think that, you know, you're not reflecting back and go, my, I mean, what an incredible, you mentioned the word surreal experience this was to open this stadium up. I mean, this is historic. This is something few people get to do. But now you got to turn it around and you got to go right back to that place you don't really like right now after the home cooking of Q2, and you got to go to Minnesota United, and that's a team that's pretty desperate right now.
Yeah, but I think there's some positives to take away from that. I mean, obviously you play and there's a lot of emotion Saturday, but the team was pretty frustrated in the locker room after. You know, we felt that we should have taken 3 points away. But that's the beauty of soccer, is that there's always another game, and thankfully for us it's only 3-4 days later. So, you know, Wednesday we obviously get the chance to go out and get 3 points and come back Sunday for another game at Q2, and you know, hopefully we do our part just as much as the fans have been doing their part.
So it's a quick trip. You'll take on Minnesota United. Minnesota United's a place behind you. They're 11th in the West. They're 2 wins, 4 losses, 2 draws. You know, there's a lot of pressure up there. So this is a team that's certainly going to be fighting for a win. Do you think in some ways it's good that you're hitting the road here before coming back on Sunday?
I don't know. We've been on the road a lot. a lot of guys probably don't want to hop on a plane again and go travel, but that's just the MLS for you. So it's part of the job, and the guys would be good about it, and we know there's a job to be done. So the focus was switched pretty quick after that game on Saturday, and now focus on Minnesota.
So Minnesota's coming off what I believe is a 1-1 draw with FC Dallas, and they've got a very good playmaker in Emmanuel Reynoso. I'm sure there's going to be some keying on him. What other things do you see from Minnesota United that is things to be on the lookout for, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, we played them not too long ago, so I think the fact that we went and got a result there will give us confidence that we can go back and do the same. We know their strengths as a team, and we're going to look to exploit them the same way we did a couple weeks back.
John Gallagher joining us here, playing with Cecilio, playing with Jared. You know, you and Jared have just remarkable energy, and Cecilio brings a little of that creative skill and flair along with you two. Just talk about you guys as a pair of three, and maybe some insight to our listeners as to kind of some of the things you're looking to do together as if we looked at you as a three set.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult when there's been a lot of chopping and changing. I know that a couple of people coming in and out of the lineup, but the fact that we've had, I think, a couple games now as a front three together, we're starting to build a bit more chemistry. You know, myself and Jared are obviously pretty similar in our play style, high energy, like to run in behind. And Cecilio gives that balance that maybe me and Jared can't, where he comes down, he connects the two attacking mids into the play and gets Pochettino and Diego involved, which allows, you know, space in behind him for me and Jared to go stretch the field. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I think we feed off each other pretty well. So, yeah, as I said earlier, we're obviously just looking for those goals to come, which I'm sure they will soon.
All right, one of your other great signings at Austin FC, well, he was in full form in the pregame, Matthew McConaughey. Now, I know he's come out to some practices and all. It's got to be pretty fun as a player to know that, you know, this guy's on your side. He's a longtime Austinite, loves the city, loves the team, supporting you, loves UT. It's got to be a really, I would think, really fun, supportive type thing, the relationship that he has with the club and how out front he is.
Yeah, it's great. Honestly, he came into the training ground last week, and I was busy doing some of my exercises before training, and he kind of caught me off guard. I didn't know what to say, and I was just kind of seeing myself, am I really talking to, you know, Matthew McConaughey right now? And yeah, I almost wish I could take the moment back, because I didn't really speak, because I just was lost for words. I just asked him how he was, and yeah, I was pretty awkward about it. So it's kind of funny when I look back on it, but it's great, especially when you see the video of him hyping up the crowd. You know, I know sometimes owners aren't always that involved, but the owners here at Austin have been, you know, tremendous to us and made us feel a part of everything and let us know that they're fully behind us, which has been great.
Well, you got other markets around Major League Soccer feeling pretty jealous about the interaction and the accessibility of those owners. Listen, John, you're a good man for coming on. We really thank you for coming on. To get your insight is special. It's great for our listeners. Thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck against Minnesota. And as always, keep punching away. You're going to get those goals soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, John Gallagher, great young man, dangerous striker. Minnesota United's next. Even been some pressure on Adrian Heath, their head coach. Argentina has a 1-0 lead over Paraguay right now. We're in the 37th minute. All right, Electric Light Orchestra here. It's Soccer Matters presented by DaspitLawAustin.com. 512-865-6710. 512-865-6710. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. DaspitLawAustin.com. We'll take a break. We're coming back. Some Euro talk, Copa America, and we can continue with Austin FC. In fact, we're going to run some very interesting sound from Josh Wolf.
They need to score another to cement this. And they've got numbers here. Plenty of numbers. Enough numbers. You bet. Mailer seals it for Denmark.
82nd minute goal there. Denmark 4-1 over Russia. Took a 1-0 lead in the 38th. This was a very tight game in the first 60 minutes. Damsgaard in the 38th. Paulsen in the 59th made it 2-0. And, you know, they still needed a result from Belgium. And there was a Belgian goal that was scored, and the entire crowd at the Parken Stadium in Copenhagen started going nuts. Well, they didn't realize VAR had overturned it. So it made it a bit dicey. It did end 4-1, but this was a lot closer than you would think. Zuba then hits from the penalty spot for Russia. It's 2-1, and now it gets a little nervy. But then Christensen in the 79th, Mail in the 82nd, as you heard there on the goal call. And Denmark, that's a great story with everything that went on with Christian Eriksen that gripped the entire soccer world around the globe. Spectacular. Show is always here. Soccer Matters brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. How cool would it be if we ever get Matthew McConaughey on the show? I hope we can. I hope one night maybe he stumbles on Soccer Matters and he says, man, I'd like to go on. That dude, you know, I want to talk some soccer with him and Austin FC. DaspitLaw.com. So there's my informal ask for Matthew McConaughey to come on the show. HornFM.com, that's where you get the podcast of this show each and every week. Head over there for that. Support those podcasts. Twitter, hit me up, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. And also on Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. So any likes and support would be appreciated. We love it. And our sponsors pay attention to a lot of those kind of numbers and analytics like they should. So that was a Denmark result. I promised you some Josh Wolf sound. So, you know, based on the fact that this was the first ever game for Austin FC at the Q2, here's Josh Wolf talking about the moment.
Yeah, it's, you try to. I think that was a big question that a lot of people kept saying, or a statement that people would say, like, really enjoy the moment and try to enjoy what you've been part of building. And I think I was able to do that a little bit. It's tough. You really want to focus on the game and making sure your guys are prepared and you're ready to provide, the insight and the direction for your team. And obviously, you know, having the fans and being in that stadium was an incredible experience. And walking around afterwards, I think we were able to enjoy it and savor it a bit. It would have been nicer with the 3 points, but these fans are in a great place. They love this game. They support us so much in such a quick way. I think our players have endeared themselves to this community quickly, and the community has endeared themselves to us. And it's continuing to build and foster that relationship. I mean, this is Austin FC. It's a team, but it's the community. And you know, we're only going to be as big and great as the people around us can make us. And we'll do our part on the field. But it's been unbelievable to see. The other night was a fantastic event in every way. You know, from opening the stadium to the energy to certainly. The way the game went, there was certainly an entertainment value to it. And the fans were with us the whole way. And it was great to see and exciting to be part of. And we look forward to many more nights like that here at Q2.
So that was Josh Wolf talking about Q2. And they're going to be right back there on Sunday after a trip to Minnesota on Wednesday. But, you know, when Josh Wolf was talking there about community and embracing everybody, that is the job of the professional soccer team. You have to be above board. You're not on the ground level fighting it out with the community over you soccer players or any of these types of things. You're the ones that have to embrace everybody, extend the olive branch. There's a lot of that has to go on. And that's what creates the trust, the energy, and just all the good things that can come out of being united and unified. And that's what's going on there. And, you know, as much as it's about the fans and what they have done to bring professional soccer to Austin and those who built the sport in the community going way, way back at all different levels, whether it's youth, adult, college, everybody's contributing. And everybody should feel proud the minute that first ball was kicked in that brand new stadium. And this is the focal point. This is the thing that will bring like-minded people together about a sport that they love and a community and city that they love. So fantastic stuff there. And you have to give the ownership group, you have to give the front office all kinds of major props here because there is a process going on there. There is a plan. There is the desire and the want to be in a very heartfelt, honest way connected to the community. And it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. Okay, let's keep it rolling here. I wanted to talk. I want to throw this soundbite, John, here about Josh when he talks about we have left a lot of goals out there.
I think our expected goals is around 12. So we're at 6. So we've left a lot of goals out there. I think I've said that many times in our games. We've left goals on the board, which can also mean that we've left points on the board. And I think pressing isn't really the word that I would use. Guys are getting into position and these are good chances and we're missing good chances. And then there's also the opportunities that probably aren't realized from the casual observer or from the TV, because there are moments where we have teams in really good situations for ourselves that we're just not capitalizing on final pass or recognizing the best option. But we have to score goals. These guys have an urgency and a desire to score goals. I think looking back on it from the other night, it was clear to me that everybody that got into situations wanted to be the guy to score the goal. And sometimes in doing so, there are other options there. There are better options, or it's an earlier pass or it's an earlier shot. So that would be the only time where I was saying maybe they're pressing, but it was looking for that first ever home goal. To me, that's almost what it looked like, rather than maybe making the better option or better decision. And they have to make these decisions rather quickly. But I think over the last, you know, 3-4 games going back to Seattle, we've had multiple opportunities to take points, to score goals, and unfortunately they're not going in right now. And you know, the other night we had a decent amount of shots on frame, we put a lot of balls into really good spots, and there are opportunities that you'd think you'd capitalize on, and right now we aren't. And like I said, we're 6 out of 12 on expected goals, so we've left some very important goals out there.
So, by the way, when he's saying there, and this is how I would decipher this, when Josh Wolf, the coach of Austin FC, is saying, you know, maybe we're not making the right pass, he's not just talking about the final third of the field. He might be talking about a moment where you break a line in midfield or you're on a counterattack and whoever's on the ball maybe doesn't take the correct choice when it comes to the person that the ball needs to be played to. So you have to think about it in those terms. I think a lot of times we just go to, oh, the final ball's missing in the box. Well, the right pass out of your own defensive third of the field may be the one that really sets an attack in motion, or it's recognition of moments when a team and an opponent is overcommitted against you and you win the ball and you know there is one way to solve this problem and break out, and that's the pass and decision that has to be recognized and made, and maybe it isn't made. And then what was a potential great opportunity to really break out or get into the attack or jump out of the middle third of the field, it goes away. So I think there's a little more to that when he's talking about that. So that's good. Josh Wolf then went on to talk a little bit about versatility with the team that he has.
I think I've continued to learn that our players have good flexibility in what we're doing, and we're able to adjust within the game. We're able to certainly have a little bit different ideas and structure. And again, with the idea that we maintain our offensive ideas, our offensive principles, and certainly some of the movements that we always look for. So I think that's become more evident over the course of 10 games. Finalizing actions, completing things in the final third, having patience in the final third as well, is something that we got to continue to work on. And the last few opponents have really challenged us because they are difficult in their own way. Seattle was man-to-man. Certainly San Jose was man-to-man, and Kansas City's a good opponent. So those are some of the teams that we faced that were challenging. But going into Minnesota, familiar with the way they want to play, certainly their build-up, and obviously we had some things that worked against them last time as well. So we'll have a few things in there that we try to work off of. But, again, getting guys fresh and up to speed is most important. And, putting forth a big effort, going on the road is again, something we're familiar with. And first things first is match the intensity of the environment that you're in and know that that's a good opponent that's going to come with some heat. They get very well prepped from Adrian, and they come out with good intensity. We got to match that, and then our football has to take over.
Josh Wolf, they're talking about Minnesota United and the versatility of his team, and they will break out, and the goals are going to come. And one thing is for sure, when you look at Austin and FC, you realize the ideas of the coach, and I'm sure, like every coach, you always want things to be better, but they are definitive in the way they play and what's expected, and you can see that organizationally and the areas where they press, the things that they do. It's good. It's very good. It's primed to platform. All right, so I mentioned the Denmark 4-1 win over Russia. That was Group B today. That was in Copenhagen. Then Belgium had a 2-0 win in Russia at the St. Petersburg Stadium. That victory today, very important over Finland, especially in the context of Denmark. Radecki in own goal, and then Lukaku in the 81st. Austria had a 1-0 win over the Ukraine. Baumgartner in the 21st. That was in Group C. And then also in Group C, North Macedonia got beat by the Netherlands 3-0. Memphis Depay in the 24th. And Wijnaldum had a pair in this one in the 51st and 58th. That one at the famed Johan Cruyff Arena in the Netherlands. So those were the results today from the Euros. Tomorrow you got the Czech Republic and England and Harry Kane, and Croatia and Scotland. Croatia, Scotland at Hampden Park, and Czech Republic and England at Wembley. By the way, $139 million is supposedly $139 million, supposedly the amount that Manchester City is preparing to pay to get Harry Kane from Tottenham Hotspur. So obviously that's a team that is in need of a striker. That does seem to make sense. He's looked a bit fatigued so far in the Euros, but that's one to keep an eye on there, no question. All right, so it's Wednesday. Minnesota United is back home at Q2 for Austin FC. Right now at halftime, it's Argentina with a lead 2-0 over Paraguay. And Chile-Uruguay, well, earlier today, that was a good one. That was a very good game. Eduardo Vargas in the 26th, 1-0. Chile from Brereton, who remember is the English kid who has Chilean background. Vargas put him up after a pass from Brereton in the 69th minute. It ended up being an own goal. Certainly looked like Luis Suarez scored it. He was in a mix there at the far post with Vidal. Vidal went down in the... I mean, he just smashed Vidal. I thought he volleyed it in. Somehow they called it an own goal. Copa America rolls on. The Euros roll on. Another great night here. Big thank you to everybody. Again, hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. We would love a like or some support or interaction with you. It is Soccer Matters here and on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. John will take your case, fight for what is your deserved right. And John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm bringing soccer on the radio to you, DaspitLawAustin.com. For John Reichel, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Monday night, keep it going, Austin, Texas. Fantastic start at the Q2 with Austin FC. And remember, on behalf of the firm, soccer matters. You're right.